Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to the listeners the people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today is a very unique program. I'm going to spend time with you during this whole hour talking about grief. During the holidays, especially so, grief can feel overwhelming. The holidays are a time of gathering together with family and friends. We share time and space, meals, gift exchange. Sometimes we attend a faith community or faith community event, gathering with others. You know, most of us anticipate spending time with those that are closest to us and celebrating the holidays that we hold sacred. So the holidays can be a particularly difficult time for those that have experienced a recent loss. It can also be a difficult time for those who have experienced any sort of loss, no matter how long ago it may have been. So in this program, I'm going to share information about grief, the grieving process, some poetry, music, reflections on loss, and discuss some ideas on healing rituals and practices that can help all of us to process loss. Process grief. Grief, grieving, mourning, bereavement, loss, those are terms we use interchangeably to describe an experience that can take our breath away and forever alter us. Grief is a response to loss, particularly to the loss of someone or some living thing that has died. It's usually one where we've formed a bond of affection. Grief not only affects us emotionally and psychologically, it also can affect us physically, cognitively, socially, or even our behaviors, our culture, and spiritual and philosophical dimensions. It impacts every aspect of us. And when we're trying to navigate the holidays, grief can make it extremely challenging. Especially if we are hesitant to allow ourselves to feel the grief because we don't want to impact other people's celebrations or feel like our grief may not be appropriate. If you take nothing else away from this program, my hope is that you will know for certainty that grief is appropriate. How you express it, of course, and when is the question. So I'm going to be talking about some helpful ideas for doing appropriate expression. During the holiday season, our society presents the idea that it is festive. Grief can include feelings of sadness, loneliness, aloneness, isolation, even anger. Confusion, lots of different emotions. Grief always includes emotions. Sometimes people will talk about feeling numb. What I encourage people to realize, when we're experiencing numbness, that does not mean that we are not experiencing emotions. Loss about the person, how much the person meant to them. It can be very emotional, but the expression of emotions and caring is how we heal, and we know our loved ones would want us to heal. Some other things that have helped people in expressing grief during the holidays is doing something that honors the person, such as maybe donating to an organization in their memory, or maybe planting a tree in their name, or taking time to place flowers on the person's grave. There are organizations, too, that you can make donations to support the care of an animal. If they had a fondness for animals, that might be especially appropriate for the person. Some find it helpful to sit together in a circle and share the stories and remembrances, because sitting together in the circle, it itself can be comforting, because it feels like we're creating a shared, supportive space. Whatever type of loss we've suffered, there's no right or no wrong way to grieve. By understanding the stages and types of grief can help us sometimes to find better or more effective ways to cope and to process our grief. I want you to remember that grief is a natural response to loss. It is how we heal. It's the emotional suffering that you feel when someone or something you love is taken away. Often, the pain of loss can feel overwhelming. You may experience all kinds of difficult and unexpected, perhaps never before experienced emotions. It can range from shock, anger, to disbelief, guilt, and very profound, profound sadness. The pain of grief can also disrupt your physical health. Sometimes it's difficult to sleep, eat, or even think straight. Sometimes our emotions can be quite confusing. These are normal reactions to loss. And the more significant the loss, the more intense the grieving will be. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that it's a natural process. Coping with the loss of someone or something you love is one of the biggest challenges we face in this lifetime. We can associate grieving with the death of a loved one, but we also have other types of loss. There's loss through divorce or a relationship breaking up or ending, loss of health, loss of mobility, losing a job, loss of financial stability, a miscarriage. Even though you may not realize it, even retirement can be a loss. It's loss of a way of life that you've known, and you're entering into the unknown. Certainly the death of a pet. For most of us, a pet becomes part of our family. So that loss is significant. Another type of loss is when we lose a cherished dream. Coming to an end, recognizing that it's not possible, can be very destabilizing. Another way is that when someone we love, or we ourselves, are diagnosed with a serious illness, our life is forever altered. We'll never be the same. Loss of a friendship, loss of safety after a trauma, whether we're talking about being a victim of a crime or maybe surviving a wildfire. And sometimes in our area, surviving a wildfire means we've lost our home or our property, or even for those that have been in a distant place from where the fire actually occurs, having trauma because they're not in the place to be able to deal with what is transpiring. Even the selling of a family home or family property. Those are all losses. We also might think of them as changes, major changes in life. So those are the challenges. Even subtle losses can trigger a sense of grief. You might grieve after moving away from home, graduating from college, changing jobs. You know, most of us, we get excited about going off to college, but the way of life that we've known is forever changed. We may apply and get a new job, but the old job, we're leaving. We're leaving relationships, and we're leaving the known schedule and routine of daily life. Whatever the loss, it's personal to us. So the encouragement Don't allow yourself to feel ashamed of how you feel or to believe that it's somehow only appropriate if you grieve for certain things, like a death. If a person, animal, relationship, or situation was significant to us, it's normal to grieve the loss. Whatever the cause of the grief, though, there are healthy ways to cope with the pain. In time, our sadness eases. We come to terms with the loss, and find new ways of meaning. You might say we redefine life, and we begin probably a little bit more aware and attuned to how fragile life is and how uncertain it can be. But we've grown and we've survived. When we talk about losing a loved one, whether it's a close friend, a spouse, partner, a child or parent, or a relative, I don't think anything really compares to the loss of a loved one. Because after such a loss, life never really seems the same. Hopefully, through time, through the grieving process and allowing ourselves to grieve, the sorrow becomes smaller. And we begin again to look to the future, and we come to terms with the loss. There's a poem that has always spoken to me, and I want to share that. It's called, "You Don't Just Lose Someone Once." It's by Donna Ashworth. You don't just lose someone once. You lose them over and over, sometimes many times a day. When the loss, momentarily forgotten, creeps up and attacks you from behind, fresh waves of grief at the realization hits home. They are gone again. You don't just lose someone once. You lose them every time you open your eyes to a new dawn, and as you awaken, so does your memory. So does the jolting bolt of lightning that rips into your heart. They are gone again. Losing someone is a journey, not a one-off. There is no end to the loss. There is only a learned skill on how to stay afloat. How to stay afloat when it washes over. Be kind to those who are sailing this stormy sea. They have a journey ahead of them, and a daily shock of the system each time they realize they are gone again. You don't just lose someone once. You lose them every day, for a lifetime. I love Donna Ashworth's poem, "You Don't Just Lose Someone Once." If you've just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Today, I am talking about the grieving process and encouraging us to realize that the grieving process is the way in which we heal after a loss, whether it's a loss of a loved one or loss of other things in life, such as we just talked about before the poem. Could be any major shift in life, change that we encounter. The grieving process is very much an individual experience, and there is no right or wrong way to grieve. And how you grieve depends on many factors, including your personality and our coping skills, our life experiences, our faith, and how significant that loss is to us. While we'll all experience grief in this lifetime, each of us does it in a unique way. What is part of the big challenge for most people is it takes time to grieve, and the healing happens gradually. For most of us, we think it happens far too slowly. It can't be forced, can't be hurried, and there's no really normal timetable. Some people start to feel better in weeks or months. For some, the process is measured in years. And whatever your grief experience, it's most important to be patient with yourself and allow the process to naturally unfold for you, for each of us. Sometimes we're put in a position where we're grieving and we have to go back to work. In our culture, oftentimes employers will give people 3 days off for the loss of a parent. And we all know it takes much longer to adjust to life through the death of a parent or a child or someone we love. And so we kind of put our emotions and thoughts about the person, tuck them in the back or put them on the shelf or the back burner because we have to go to work and make a living. What we have to remember is when we're not at work, we have to take them off the shelf. Those emotions, thoughts, feelings, take them off the back burner. What we've stuffed down, perhaps, we need to bring out and up and allow ourselves to experience them. It's the only way we can heal is by allowing ourselves to do that process. Sometimes we get angry at the fact that we do have to go back to work. So you might take vacation time if it's possible or try to make other arrangements if need be. There are many myths and facts about grief and grieving. Here's a big myth, that the pain will go away faster if you ignore it. That's a huge myth. Trying to ignore your pain or keep it from surfacing will make it worse in the long run. For real healing, it's necessary to face your grief and actively experience it, feel it, deal with it. So the myth that it's going to go away by ignoring it, that is a myth. It will be there. It's not courageous to ignore that process. It takes courage to go through the grieving process. And it's how we produce health and wellness in our everyday life is by allowing ourselves to process grief. Here's another myth. It's important to be strong in the face of loss. So here's a fact. Feeling sad, lonely, frightened, those are normal reactions to loss. Crying doesn't mean that we're weak. You don't really need to protect your family or friends by putting up a brave front and not crying. It takes courage to show our true feelings, and it gives people permission to do the same. We must practice vulnerability and authenticity in our grieving process. Another myth. If you don't cry, it means you aren't sorry about the loss. Crying is a natural response to sadness. But it's not the only response. Those of us who don't cry may feel the pain just as deeply as others. We have to remember that people are different. They can express their pain differently. I know as a licensed marriage family therapist, oftentimes people will experience pain by laughing. And it's not really laughing like at a humorous joke. It's a release of the body tension, the pain that they're feeling. So it's an intense sort of laughing. Another myth, grieving should take or last about a year. There truly is no specific timeline for grieving. It differs from person to person. It differs depending on the loss. Like I mentioned previously, depends on the personality of the person involved, depends on the circumstance, depends on what the loss is about. There are people that we are connected to. As an example, it might be a parent or a sibling or a spouse or a dear friend that, you know, our life has been circled around them. And to have them gone can create a huge chasm. So it's very unique to each of us. My encouragement as a therapist, I encourage people, if they're struggling with their process, talk to a therapist. Find someone to talk to. Because it's important that we're taking time, dedicating time to our healing, to a place to have what I call sacred space in order to express that loss. So another myth, an important myth to think about, because you hear this. Moving on with our life means we forgot about our loss. Moving on, as some might call it, going day to day, engaging in life, it means at some level we've begun to accept the loss, but that does take time. And that's not about forgetting. We move on in life while we hold the memory of someone or something that we've lost. We carry it with us. We're altered forever, but we continue on. Most of us recognize when we've had a loss of a person, that person is going to want us to continue living and create a good life, to honor the relationship we've had with them. It just can be challenging to find our feet again, to find our voice, our balance. We move through life because we have to, and the memories can become more integrated into our daily lives, redefining and defining who we are in this new place in life that we are. I want us to think about how to deal with a grieving process. While grieving a loss, there's ways that we can help cope with the pain, ways we can come to terms with our grief, and eventually find our way back to pick up the pieces and move on with our life. These aren't in any particular order, but one of the first things that comes to mind for me is acknowledging the pain. Part of the way that I encourage people to acknowledge the pain is to try to describe it, whether you're doing that description with another individual or describing it for yourself. How big is it? The size, the texture, the color? Does it have sound? Does it have a fragrance? Use the senses to describe and acknowledge that pain. Also, accept that grief can trigger many, many different and unexpected, maybe never before experienced emotions. It can be very disorienting. It can feel so overwhelming. And it's good to remember that when we feel overwhelmed, remind ourselves, I can only do one thing at a time. So of all the many things pulling at me, what one thing am I going to do first? And when that is done, I pick another thing. And when that is done, I pick another thing. We can only do one thing at once. So when we feel overwhelmed, pause and do that practice. It's also important to understand that the process is unique to each one of us. So I can't say to my friend, this is what you need to do, because my friend's going to do it differently, or my spouse, or my sibling, or my child. Everyone does it differently. What helps sometimes is to say to another person, what helps you the most? Give them space to talk about it, to figure out what works best for them. Another step is to seek out face-to-face support. You know, we as the person grieving, having contact with family and friends, that just by being with them helps us to feel better. When someone is grieving, you have a friend or family, ask them, do you want to have time together? Coffee, tea, go for a walk. What would help you? We need to support ourselves emotionally by also taking care of ourselves physically. Sometimes when we encounter loss, depression sets in. It's difficult for us to get out of bed. It's difficult for us to want to do our daily tasks like showering or bathing, eating, So the very first thing we have to do is think about self-care physically. Got to get out of bed. Got to try to have some sort of routine because we'll feel better with that. Get showered and dressed. Make a meal. Do normal everyday things will help us feel better physically as well as emotionally. It's important to recognize that there is a definite difference between grief and depression. Depression is that heavy, heavy, immobilizing, it's hanging on to those emotions inside so that we feel heavy and may require us not only to talk with a therapist, we may also have to go to our physician and seek out an antidepressant so that we can function. A reminder that I read online some time ago spoke to me. It suggested, be the things you love most about the people who are gone. Those who are gone can not only be lost through death, but divorce, a broken relationship, the ending of a friendship, someone moving away and no longer having contact. If you've just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Today's program is very unique. Typically, I have guests in here and we talk about different things that are happening in the North State. Today, because of the holiday season, I decided to talk about grief and the grieving process because most of us have had some experience of loss in our life, including perhaps the loss of a loved one that we expect and hope to see at holidays but no longer are able to share that time with them. So holidays can be a very challenging time in working with grief. So let's talk about the stages of grief. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she was a psychiatrist, and back in 1969, she identified what's known as the five stages of grief. They were based upon her studies. She had patients with terminal illnesses, and what she discovered is that there are some processes that we will go through when we experience the death of a loved one. So she describes those steps, the five stages of grief, as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So denial can be like, this can't be happening to me. They can't be gone. Those are all expressions of denial. Anger. Why is this happening? Who is to blame? It's their fault. This shouldn't have happened. Sometimes our anger is focused at God. Why didn't God stop this from happening? Bargaining can show up with things, expressions like, make this not happen and I will in turn be, you know, I'll go to church. I'll donate my time to a worthy cause. If this isn't going to be, I will make a change. The problem is, it already is. Depression. I'm too sad to do anything. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to eat. I don't want to see anyone. I want to pull the covers over my head. I don't want to do life. That's depression. Acceptance. I don't like it, but I'm at peace. I'm at peace with what has happened. I make the commitment to move forward in life. I know this person would want me to continue in life and create a good life. So I'm moving forward. So it's important for us to realize that if we are experiencing any emotions following a loss, it may be helpful for us to know that our reaction is natural and that we do heal through time if we allow ourselves to do the process. You know, it's important with the contributions that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross did to remember that not everyone who grieves goes through all of these stages. But that's okay. You don't have to go through each stage in order to heal. It's funny that some people can resolve their grief without going through any of the stages. If you go through these stages of grief, you're likely they're not going to be neat. They're probably pretty messy. They're not in a specific order. They jump back and forth. They're jumbled. So don't worry about what should or should not be, what you should or should not be feeling. Give yourself time and space. Kubler-Ross never intended that these stages were to be like a rigid framework that applies to everyone. In her book, and she lists the five stages of grief and says this: they were never meant to help tuck messy emotions into neat packages. They are responses to loss that many people have, but there is not a typical response to loss, as there is no typical loss. Our grieving is an is as individuals our lives. End of quote. One of my favorite quotes of hers, it's her and John Kessler wrote the following reflection: grieve forever. The reality is that you will grieve forever. You will not get over the loss of a loved one. You will learn to live with it. You will heal, and you will rebuild yourself around the loss you have suffered. You will be whole again, but you will never be the same. Nor should you be, nor would you want to be. Powerful words, aren't they? It's also good for us to remember that grief can be a roller coaster. Instead of it being a series of stages, it can be ups and downs and sharp turns, highs and lows, and the ride may tend to be rougher in the beginning. The lows may be deeper and longer. The difficult periods, however, in time should become less intense and shorter as time goes by, because it takes time to work through loss, sometimes even years after loss, especially in special events like we're talking about with the holidays, or a family wedding, birth of a child, graduation, christening, all those special landmarks in time, we may still experience a sense of grief. That is the nature of what it means to be in our healing process. I think it's important for us also to think about symptoms of grief. I'm going to list a few. Shock and disbelief, sadness, guilt, fear, anger. Those are the emotional symptoms. Let's talk about physical. Fatigue, nausea, lowers our immunity system. Weight loss or weight gain can be either or. Aches and pain and insomnia. Those are common physical problems we experience. Since the experience of grieving following the loss of someone or something, we have to remember it's unique to us. It's sometimes difficult to label normal or abnormal, but there are expected symptoms or reactions to different types of grief. Anticipatory grief. Anticipatory grief develops before a significant loss occurs rather than after. For instance, when we have a loved one that's terminally ill, or we have an aging pet, retirement, or job loss, downsizing, change in job, we start grieving before the actual event occurs. Anticipatory grief, that's difficult for me to say, can involve a lot of confusing emotions and sometimes includes a great deal of anger. Sometimes people will even equate it with giving up hope, and don't allow themselves to grieve. But anticipatory grief can allow you to prepare for your loss, resolve any unfinished business with a person or people that are involved, say your goodbyes. Or disenfranchised grief is when the loss is devalued or stigmatized and cannot be openly mourned. That is unacceptable, but it occurs. Oftentimes happens when our relationship to a deceased person, you know, our grief, thinking of the holidays, you might know someone that says they're having a hard time dealing with the loss of someone who's been gone for many years. That can be disenfranchising their grief. We don't want to do that. Complicated grief. The pain is significant and may never completely disappear, but it should ease up. When it doesn't, it can keep us from resuming our daily life and enjoying relationships with other people. It usually arises from the death of a loved one, where the loss has left us stuck in a state of bereavement, where we may be unable to accept our loved one has gone, and we'll look for them in familiar places and experience intense longings, or even feel that life isn't worth living. So if we experience this complicated grief and the pain from the loss continues to remain unsolved, it's very, very critical to reach out for support and take steps that help us to heal. If you've just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I want to take the last parts of our time together to talk about ways to help process grief. Ritual helps us. We create ways to honor the person or circumstances. For example, if the person loved the outdoors, we, as I mentioned before, may honor them by planting a tree. We can do personal ritual. What is something you shared with the person? Did you have a favorite place to go eat? So maybe you go and have dinner or lunch there in memory of them. And you're creating new memories, redefining life while remembering them. Maybe make a date, and if it's difficult, and go to that place, even if it's a place the person has passed, may take others with you. Recall the memories, how you felt. It may be emotional, but that's okay. It's a way of processing, though, so that we can get in touch with what we feel. It's important for us, if we're struggling, to turn to friends and family. Lean on them. They're people that care about us. There's no big medal to be awarded for those that stay strong and self-sufficient. Draw close to family and loved ones. Spend time together in that face-to-face contact. Spend time. But oftentimes, as therapists, I work with people in their grieving process. It's not unusual that we run out of family and friends to talk to about our grief long before the grieving has moved into a place of acceptance. If that happens, it's important that we find ways of expressing our grief. Maybe we go to a support group.
We have three hospice organizations in Shasta County. We have Bristol Hospice, Interim Hospice, and Mercy Hospice. They all offer grief groups free of charge to members of our community. There are a number of psychotherapists in our community that offer grief counseling and support if grief groups do not serve your need.
They can help you to work through those intense emotions, giving you a place to express. Sometimes people will also pursue pastoral care. Also, there's a national suicide hotline where you can call and just talk.
It is anonymous and confidential. That phone number is 988. Again, that phone number is 988. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can also text 988. With 988, you're connected to trained crisis counselors. So don't hesitate. Reach out for support. When appropriate, the crisis counselors will help connect people with other resources. Veterans can also call 988 and press 1 when the call is answered to access support specific to veterans' needs. Veterans can also text 838-255. The number to text for suicide support for veterans is 838-255.
You don't have to be suicidal. You can just call and talk. It's free. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week available. Also, the power of music. Towards the close of this program, I'm going to be playing some music because it helps us to access a part of ourselves that sometimes nothing else can help us to access. Ever have the experience of hearing a song from many years ago and suddenly you're transported back to that exact moment in time or the emotional experience that you had back then? Music helps us to heal emotionally and spiritually. One of the songs I've used when helping others is All This Joy by John Denver. I invite you to listen to the song, noticing how you feel emotionally, and to ask ourselves, what do I feel when I hear this song? This is All This Joy by John Denver. That song is entitled All This Joy by John Denver. I want you to notice, what did you feel? Did you allow yourself to experience your emotions? Earlier, I talked about getting in a circle and talking about a loved one that has passed. That support in that circle is profound and helps us to heal. Another strategy to use is to have each one in that circle bring a song that reminds them of the person that has passed and to share their thoughts and emotions around that. I want you also to realize that we have a very powerful tool we can access at any time. It's through the power of writing. So I want to suggest to you that you get a yellow legal pad, pen or pencil. You set aside an hour. You do not answer the phone. You do not get up. It's a private space where you can put down on paper your thoughts, your feelings. So I let myself write everything I think and feel. And I do that till I run out of things to say. And then I don't get up. I stay with it. And I go back to the title of my writing. And if I stay there, I'll tap into a wellspring of more thoughts and emotion. I let that come, and I keep doing that. And then when I get to the place that I feel like, okay, this is at its end, then I take that work that I've created on paper, and to honor it, I take it outside and put it in a metal bucket or a fire pit, and I burn it. It's a ritual burning. I watch it burn. I remember what I thought and felt, and it's a way of processing and honoring my experience. There's other things for us to think about, because grief can impact our faith, certainly impacts every aspect of our life. But I'm going to leave this program allowing the song by Garth Brooks, The Dance, to play. And as you hear this program close with this song, I want you to think about, what is my process of grief? Am I attuned to it? Am I honoring it? Am I doing practices that have honored those who have passed from my life?
I'm sharing next a song by Kenny Rogers. It's called Goodbye. I invite you to close your eyes and listen with an open heart, allowing yourself to express your emotions, to feel the loss that you have experienced, honoring your healing process.
I wanted you for life, you and me in the wind. I never thought there'd come a time that our story would end. It's hard to understand, but I guess I'll have to try. It's not easy to say goodbye. For all the joy we share, all that time we had to spend. Now if I had one wish, I'd want forever back again. To look into your eyes and hold you when you cry. It's not easy to say goodbye. I remember great times we had, so many memories, some good, some bad. Yes, and through it all, those memories will last forever. There's peace in where you are, maybe all I need to know. And if I listen to my heart, I'll hear your laughter once more. And so I have to say, I'm just glad you came my way. It's not easy to say goodbye.
So I want to wish you a happy holiday and meaningful holiday and honoring our grieving process and those who have passed. We conclude this program with a dance by Garth Brooks.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared, neath the stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the holding you. I held everything for a moment. Wasn't I again? If I'd only known how the king would fall, and who's to say, you know, I might have changed it all.